Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. In this season of joy, in this season when we see so many beautiful things, I have a weird question for you. Have you ever been disappointed by God? Has there ever been a time in your life when you said, things are just going terribly wrong. God, why have you not rescued me? Has anyone ever felt that way? If you have, you can understand John the Baptist's question. Now, you remember last week we talked about John the Baptist. He was a man of the wilderness. He was a man of great power. He was a great prophet. People flocked to see him. And when he preached, he didn't preach a gentle, mild message. He preached repentance. He smacked people around with his words. And he said, and just you wait. The person who's coming after me, you think I'm rough. He's going to kick butt and take names. And then John made a misstep. Because he was such a powerful man, because he was an ideological man, he was a pure man of God. When he saw the despot King Herod do something terribly wrong, he called him out on it. Now, you don't do that to despots, because Herod had him promptly jailed. Now, can you imagine somebody who loves the great outdoors like John did being thrown into prison? Now, most of us have not experienced prison. I have. I've gone to visit people in jails and prisons, and I have to tell you, it's a terrible thing. Because every movement they make is monitored. And in modern prisons, at least they have some kind of cleanliness and they have some kind of decent food. Can you imagine in ancient times what those dungeons must have looked like? And here's a man who was an outdoorsman, and then he hears about Jesus and he is vastly disappointed. I'm sure what John was expecting was to get his army together and go up to King Herod and speak the truth to power. I'm sure what John the Baptist expected was for Jesus to get through to Rome and overthrow Roman oppression. I'm sure what John expected was not an itinerant preacher going around healing people and teaching. He probably said, I could have done that. I was expecting something different. And he's wondering, after building Jesus up as the Messiah, as the rescuer, what now? And here he is, languishing in prison. And it doesn't say that Jesus ever spoke to the hierarchy about helping John get out of prison. Has God ever disappointed you? So Jesus says to John's disciples that have gathered around and asked the question, are you the one? He said, tell them what you see. Tell them that those who are the least, those who have no hope, those who have no champions, those are the ones that I'm taking care of. Those are the ones that I'm healing. I'm healing the blind. Nobody cared about the blind. At that time, people thought that blind people deserved what they had gotten, and it was some sort of terrible sin that they had committed for them to be blind. And he said, those are the people I'm helping. Tell John, don't be offended that I'm not overturning Rome. Don't be offended that I'm not amassing an army. I am demonstrating what God is like. His name, the prophet said, would be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And life will not change because of a revolution. Life will not change through armed force. Life will change one person at a time. And life will change for us. Sometimes God will rescue us, but most times the change comes because God gives us all the equipment necessary to go through the dark times. I had a wonderful friend in high school. Her name was Selma, and I gravitated to Selma because she was everything I wasn't. She was artistic, she was articulate, and she had a sarcastic wit that I really enjoyed. She was an acquired taste. She didn't have many friends, but I thought she was just wonderful. And Selma and I got on like a house on fire. We would go to shows together. I was a real homebody and Selma was not. So she'd take me into Manhattan. We'd do all sorts of wonderful things. But there was one huge difference in our lives. I went to church every Sunday. I loved church, not only the church, I loved a relationship with Jesus. And that was so important to me. But God had disappointed Selma. Disappointed her in very fundamental ways. She went to church too when she was a child. She went through confirmation and then she shook the dust off her feet and she was not to return. So every day of the week, Selma and I did something except Sundays. And I would invite her to church and she's like, yeah, don't. And I'd ask her why and she said, well, you can't taste God, you can't smell God, he's not there. And I could understand her distress. She came from a wildly dysfunctional family. Her mother, I never met her mother. She made sure that I did not meet her mom. But I could hear her over the phone when Selma and I talked, and she usually was shrieking. Dad was a gentleman. He was a nice guy. They had divorced a long time ago. She introduced me to Dad, but half the time she was infuriated with him because he would give her the silent treatment and she wouldn't know why. She had young siblings and they reflected the chaos of the home. And here, this brilliant artistic girl in her teens, when I met her, she rarely was at home. At 15, she was a nanny because she had to find a way to get out of that house and do it where her parents wouldn't call the police on her, so she became a nanny. She tried so many ways to stay out of that house. So I had the privilege in my family of having Selma almost like a second sister. And my sister adored her because Selma and would have Linda tag along with us. I loved Selma. But Selma was so disappointed with God. And I wondered how her life would turn out. She really had no family to speak of that she could listen and talk to. And one day, I decided again, by this time we were out of college, and I tried one last time. I said, Selma, there's a special speaker coming to my church. And I mentioned her last week in church. Her name was Corrie ten Boom, and she had survived the Nazi concentration camps. And Corrie ten Boom at this point was about 80 years old. And Selma was interested because she knew, of course, of history and she was a real history buff. So she decided she would go and hear this person speak. And I remember Corrie ten Boom tottering up to the stage and she had a flashlight in her hand and she talked about light shining in darkness. Now, God had not rescued Corrie from that concentration camp. She had to go through a horrible thing. And yet she radiated the joy of the Lord. And she invited anyone who would like to come to know the Jesus she knew. And to my amazement, Selma was the first one to come forward. And she came to know Jesus. Now, we soon lost touch with each other. I went my way and she went hers. And years later, I tried to find her because we had had such a wonderful relationship. I wanted to know what happened to Selma. But Selma, unlike me, did not go on Facebook. She didn't have an email address. And every group that I went in and I would say, does anybody remember her? No one seemed to know where she was. I did find out a few weeks ago what happened to my friend Selma. She died last year. And I felt so sad about that. But then I found out something wonderful. For the last 23 years of her life, she was in Tijuana, Mexico. She was the principal of a school in an orphanage. And I found a picture of her. The picture was from a few years ago. She looked exactly the same, down to her jeans and sweatshirt that she always wore. And her face, she was reading a story to the children like Bob was today. Her face radiated absolute joy. And the person who got in touch with me and told me where she was her pastor in San Diego, California. And he said she was such a dear, dear friend in Christ. And I did her service. Here was a person who was angry and hostile, and God had so disappointed her. But when she discovered Emmanuel, God with her, it changed the trajectory of her life. And she lived in sheer joy. You wonder why I get up here Sunday after Sunday and bear witness? It's because of Jesus. It's because I know that Emmanuel, God, is with us, and I have seen it in other people's lives. I always wondered what happened to my friend, and I found out through a simple invitation of mine, her life was changed. How do you know Emmanuel? God is with us. He may not rescue us from whatever we're dealing with today, but I guarantee you that God is with us. And one of the joys of knowing that is to give an invitation to somebody else to know the joy that we know. Let us pray. Lord, I am so grateful that simple invitations to come and see, that the work that you did on earth to heal the sick, to look at the people who no one else would see and lift them up, gives us hope and courage in our world. And I ask that you would plant in us that joy, that we might know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is indeed with us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.